Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the first book of Kings. At the mountain of God, Horeb, Elijah came to a cave where he took shelter. Then the Lord said to him, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by." A strong and heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire there was a tiny whispering sound. When he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him, glory dwelling in our land.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him and prepare the way of his steps.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ, for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites. Theirs the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Theirs the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Deacon Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And, of course, we're going to discuss these readings that we just heard. Dawn, I have to say, I love that reading from the Book of Kings, the first reading that we had, where we hear of Elijah sitting here looking for God in really a lot of grander things, such as, you know, earthquakes and fires and that sort of thing. And then where he ends up finding God is in the whisper,
right,
in the whisper in the cave. And I think that's sometimes what a lot of us do in our own lives is we seek God in big events, or at least we turn to God mm-hmm. even in big events. But a lot of times we don't pay attention to him in the whisper of the ordinary, common, mundane, everyday life
kind of thing.
And I know you said earlier, I don't know if you wanted to read the quote that you had, because I thought that was kind of an interesting idea on power and mm-hmm. presence.
Well, yeah, something I was reading talked about that in this first reading with Elijah, God's power is manifested in the acts of nature. We have the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. But Elijah recognizes God's presence in the tiny whispering sound. And that just, the contrast between power and presence struck me as really interesting.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was just thinking of was in terms of the sacraments, even. Now, the sacraments, of some of them actually, we do have the Eucharist, we have the presence of mm-hmm. God as well as his power. But a lot of times, you know, when the sacrament, I'm thinking like something like a wedding or something. And certainly we see the power of God there and hopefully also the presence of God. But a lot of times I think people can forget that presence of God continues throughout the whole marriage. It's something that's supposed to be there at all times. It's not just this, we recognized it at the wedding celebration or on the day of our wedding or on our honeymoon or something like that. But it's really something that's there all the time. And it is something, too, that's a lot of times so subtle that we don't stop and listen for it, or we don't stop and hear that whisper because we're too busy doing other things that we don't take the time to notice there's a whisper because we hear screaming and yelling of others around us. Yeah. So I think that's an important thing to kind of remember. And I love that image, just that, you know, he's out here searching for him in the big things, but where he finds the presence of God is in that whisper right in front of the cave.
Right. And then those readings are contrasted with the gospel reading when Jesus is walking on the water and then ends up calming the storm. And so we have this, the power and the presence of God are fully revealed in this one person of Jesus. And so that's just really neat how they're compared together, put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, you have it there too. You kind of see Peter starts to sink when he starts to worry about the fact, the noise around him, mm-hmm. the noise around him. He's not paying attention to the fact that he's in the presence of the Lord.
Right, that's a good point.
He's not, you know, keeping his eyes focused on that, but it's the storm and all the yelling and screaming going on mm-hmm. around him that he hears, and then he begins to sink.
Yeah, and that leads me into my next thought. Good segue, Brian.
Oh.
About fear. That's one of the first things that Jesus said is, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. And it reminded me of last week, I don't know if our listeners knew, we did a service week with the kids, and we worked with migrant ministries and all the problems that are surrounding people coming into the U.S., with documented and undocumented. Anyhow, one of the nights we were sharing with our group, and Nora, who has been a guest on our podcast
before, she
was sharing that every day her prayer is that she will not make decisions out of fear, because any decision made out of fear is not a good one. God does not bring fear. He doesn't promote fear. In fact, anytime an angel appeared in the scriptures, that's the first thing they said is, don't be afraid. And so her point was that after September 11th, the government and all of us actually were very afraid, and some of our decisions we made were out of fear. And instead of rationally, calmly sitting and praying and thinking them through. And I thought that was interesting, especially in light of today's readings.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even have to be in big things, too, in terms of the fear.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think, how many of us sit here and make decisions because we're afraid that something won't happen in the future, whether it be, I mean, you can make your retirement decisions based on the fact that, oh, I have this fear that there's going to be something really bad, and so I'm going to hoard everything, or any kind of, even what we would consider small decisions in terms of a grand global scale. But a lot of times, there are times when we do act out of fear. I once heard a priest talking about fear, and he said, you know, he used it as an acronym for false evidence appearing real.
Pretty good.
And I liked that, and that's always stuck with me, because I think that's exactly what fear is. It's we become afraid of something when really, if we do take the scripture to hearts, we realize there is nothing to be afraid. And that was John Paul II's message, too. And he's, of course, speaking at a time when there was a lot of fear with the whole issue of communism in Europe, and especially coming from Poland, and his, to come out and say, do not be afraid. I think that's a very important message for all of us, because when we act out of fear, I think that's really when we give in to the devil at a lot of times. Mm-hmm. As I've heard people say, you know, that's the one weapon he has. The devil actually doesn't have power to obtain what he wants. But what he does is he'll do these grandiose things to make us think we have the power, or to become submissive to him out of fear, because we're afraid of that he can take what he wants, when really we have to understand that it's Christ who has the victory, and he really has no power.
Definitely. You know, I was just reading another thing that after Jesus, obviously, if you've heard, listened to the story, he reaches out his hand and to Peter, who has this little faith, and saves him. And one of the reflection questions I was reading was that when do I or any of us reach out our hands to another person that is in fear and help them out? And it also reminded me of last week. I think I'm on a kick with last week. But we had a group of teenagers, young teenagers, and they themselves, without even realizing it, were doing the same thing. They were preparing a house for people to come and live in that live surrounded by fear of being found and being deported and things like that. And so, without getting political, because this is a complex issue, just the fact recognizing that this is my sister and brother that I need to take care of. So these teenagers went out and they helped just prepare a safe place for someone to live. And I thought that was a good example of things we may not realize that we do can have a huge impact on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that it is, you know, of course, our Christian responsibility, as you say, to reach out to those who are living in fear, or to help people get beyond their fear and to realize that there really is no need to be afraid if you can put your trust in God, you know, whether it be in a big decision or a small decision. And that's not to diminish at all to the plight of somebody like a migrant, or, you know, you can even think of somebody, you know, a battered wife or something like that,
exactly,
who does live in that constant fear. It's not saying that, oh, you know, you can just go and, you know, placate them with words, but you have to help people get out of that position of fear, I think. And so it's not just only with words that we have to do it. We do have to do it, as I think you were making the point of, with our actions. So it's one thing to, you know, tell somebody, oh, well, you know, don't be afraid. It's another thing to help them by providing them with shelter and the basic necessities so that they can move out of that position of fear eventually. Because ultimately, we do want to help people move out of that position of fear and become, you know, move to where they can see Christ, but also just where they can make those good decisions, as Nora was talking about. From a position of fear, you're never going to make a good decision. It's always going to be a reactionary decision. And a lot of times you make hasty decisions when we're operating out of fear.
Definitely.
So, I don't have a whole lot more. I don't know if you have anything else to add.
I think, not really. I think these readings are so familiar to us that we could talk a whole lot longer, but I think I would encourage all our listeners to just sit with these readings in the next week and hear what God is saying to them. So find your quiet place where God might speak in a whisper to you.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, turn back on the noise next week and join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.